Blog Talk Radio.
Schoenfeld with Deeper Truth. The Catholic Defender, the 15 promises of Our Lady gave for the Rosary. We are going to discuss the fourth promise. And oh, how we love to sing of Mary. My favorite verse of Sing of Mary. Well, I love our Blessed Virgin Mary. Oh, how I love St. Joseph too, because he completes the family on earth, our mother, our foster father Joseph, and the baby Jesus. Sing of Joseph, strong and gentle, nobly born of David's house, just an upright man of labor, whom God chose as Mary's spouse. Chosen to as Jesus' guardian, guiding him since infancy. Holy child of holy parents, holy is their family. And we're going to be discussing the fourth promise of the rosary. The rosary will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls the abundance of the mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, and will lift them to the desire for eternal things. Oh, that souls would sanctify themselves by this means. As we move along through the promises that Our Lady offers, I can't help but recognize how biblical the Virgin Mary is. The Virgin Mary is telling us that the rosary which she prays with us and for us, that virtue and good works will flourish. Psalms 11:7 states, "The Lord is just and loves just deeds. The upright will see his face." Our Lady is clearly promising that we will see God face to face and live. Through the rosary, we are being transformed to a high degree, and our good works will be made manifest. James 2:14 through 17 states, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace and keep warm and eat well,' but you do not give them the necessities of body, what good is it? So also, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead." What Our Lady is really saying is that we are being offered life through the merits of the rosary. In the rosary, we are delving into the mysteries of our Catholic faith. The rosary will foster strength into the sacraments and living out our faith daily. How will the rosary obtain abundant mercy from God? There can be countless ways God can offer his mercy. But for me, the devotion to the rosary will strengthen the believer against sin and vice. The sacrament of reconciliation is the way of life for the Christian. The sacrament of reconciliation is the mercy seat, the place where you confess your sins and the Lord forgives you, throwing away those sins into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. In this great sacrament, you are given a judgment of mercy. Through the practice of the sacraments, the Holy Spirit will wound our hearts to have desire for the love of God. None of us is perfect, but the rosary will aid us to get to a high state of perfection. We will be lifted to that desire for eternal things. The Virgin Mary is capable, through the power of God, to take us to a deep place in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There again, we receive his rich mercy. God's word touches the eternal soul of man through the power of his eternal love. Psalms 136, 1 through 26 puts an exclamation point on God's love, stating, "God's love endures forever," 26 times in this chapter. Can you feel Our Lady's deep desire that people would respond to dedicate themselves to the rosary that will aid us in the process of sanctification? 2 Thessalonians 2:13 states, "But we ought to give thanks to the Lord for you always, brothers loved by our Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth." Sanctification relates to the making of saints that makes us the holy setting set apart. And let us just finish this fourth promise of Our Lady by praying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be in Latin. We pray it in Latin because Latin was nailed to the cross. Latin is a sanctified language, dead only in as that is not altered by slang of this present time, but always preserved in the sanctity of that holy language that was preserved for the church. So let us pray the Our Father. Pater Noster, qui es in celi, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos, et dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, te libera nos de malo. Amen. The Hail Mary in Latin. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria Mater Dei, Ora pro nobis peccatoribus nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. And the glory be in Latin. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat et principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Thank you for listening to our fourth mystery, our fourth promise of the Rosary.
And amen. And thank you, Kathy. And thank you for that prayer. Oh, I love that Latin.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
And Johnny Cash came out with that song, I Walk the Line, in 1956. And that is the very year that I was born. So I can say, through my mother and through our Holy Catholic Church, that I have been walking the line ever since. And I love it. I really love it.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of this search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are. But he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
How wonderful this is about the the 15 promises Our Lady gave for the rosary. And tonight we were looking at the fourth promise. And at this point, and I want to thank Kathy for the reading of the fourth promise and her prayer. And I love the way she prays the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be in Latin. Oh, that is so wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. I was in the Army, stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and while at Fort Campbell with the Medec, I served under a number. I ran TMC-3, TMC-4. I had ran the family white clinic in the hospital. I helped in the emergency room. I did a lot of things while I was there. Well, one morning while I was at the TMC-4, I had sick call. I was running sick call. And I had a whole room full of people waiting to be seen for sick call, to see one of the docs or PAs. And I'm in the pharmacy as we are seeing and patients screening and everything. Well, the soldier comes walking in, but he wasn't in there for sick call. He was in there looking. He goes in, "Where is Donald Hartley, the so-called Catholic defender?" And I mean, I wasn't expecting him. I'd never seen this individual before. In fact, some of the people on sick call thought that I had brought him in there as some kind of a show or something. I had no idea who this person was. And one of the docs stuck their head out the door, "What's going on out here?" And I said, "I don't know, sir, but I'll find out." I introduced to the person that was asked. I said, "I am Donald Hartley." But he wanted to challenge me on the Blessed Virgin Mary. I couldn't have this. I couldn't deal with this right there in the middle of the sick call like this. I told him to go out to his car out in the parking lot and give me about 15 minutes. Go get your Bible, and I will be out there as soon as I can be out there in about 15 minutes. I went out there, and using his Bible, I began with Genesis 3:16. 15:16, where God told Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the women he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain and childbearing and pain, and you shall bring forth children." Okay, so this is going all the way back. Then I took him to Song of Songs, Chapter 6, verse 10, I took him to this verse. "Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners?" And then I took him to Psalms 45. Psalms 45, beginning with verse 8. "From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad." Talking about Jesus. Jesus likes strings instruments here. "Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Orville." And here I was able to share with him who the first queen of Israel was Bathsheba, who was the mother of King Solomon. And why is that important? Because she would be the first queen of Israel. But when you go to Luke chapter 1, oh my goodness, Luke chapter 1, and you see this right there, I can't help it. Luke chapter 1, and you see where you go to verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Hail, full of grace.'" The Greek would be kakertomene. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. For behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. Notice his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I have no husband? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And here you have Jesus and Mary, Psalms 45, and the queen. And the queen would be at his right hand. And so Mary is the successor, if you will, of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the first queen of Israel. Mary even has a higher place of honor in the Lord's. Oh, my. And so this is important. This is so important. Mary would say, going into Luke chapter 1, verse 47, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. Now, and I went with this gentleman all the way to Revelation chapter 12. When you look at Revelation chapter 12, the whole chapter, it really covers what I began with in Exodus chapter 3, 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and your seed and her seed. Well, when you go to Revelation chapter 12, you see the woman, her seed, and you see her seed, and that is Jesus. And she is regarded and seen as our mother, those who proclaim Jesus. And from the cross, at the crucifixion scene, Jesus from the cross gives his mother, Mother Mary, to St. John. And through St. John, to the whole church, to all of us. And so just in this short and real quick, just describe what I went through the Bible, kind of going through it with this gentleman. After a few moments like this, and I had to get back to work. I had to go back inside to sick call. But this gentleman, guess where he went to this upcoming Sunday? He was going to Catholic Mass with us, with myself. Isn't that so cool? Isn't that so awesome? That the Lord can use situations that may come to you. It may come to you. I didn't know this individual beforehand. I didn't ever see him before. He came in there. He had heard about me, and he wanted to come and challenge me about Mary. And within just a few moments, I took a little text from going all the way to Genesis to Revelation. And by week's end, he was coming to Catholic Mass. Oh, that is so wonderful. And there, Our Lady says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That's what Mary says. And what does Mary say? She says, let it be. Let it be. Paul McCartney may not have meant this the way Mother Mary means it, or the way we take it and mean it, but I take it as Our Lady. Let it God bless you, everybody. God bless those, and thank you for listening.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
A sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of twelve stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me.